think I was the first one.
Uh-oh, you get fast. All right. Okay, we're in chapter 1, verse 17. Then we're going to read chapters 2, 1 through 10. Amen. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the bellies, out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters can pass me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Wow. Yet has thou brought up my life from corruption. O Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for hearing our cry when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, when we were living rebellious, hellish lives, when we was corrupt, when the weeds were wrapped around our heads, when the bars was about us forever. Then we remembered you. And you gave us the strength to call out your name. And you heard us. Thank God for hearing us. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us. Thank you, Lord, for being the God of salvation and not man. Because if it was man saving, Father God, some of us would not have been saved. But you're a good God and a merciful God. And we praise your holy name. Church said, amen. 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 What a word. What a word from the prophet Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. And a prophet's job was to declare the word of God, was to preach the word of God, was to be bold in declaring it, was to preach it just like God said it. To go out into a dying world and declare God's judgment. That's not always easy. Jonah was a wonderful prophet of God. Jonah may have been one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. It's a small book, but don't let the small books fool you. They may call them minor prophets, but they weren't minor in God's estimation. Jonah preached to the wicked city of Nineveh, and he did something that no other prophet could have done. Jonah preached deliverance to 600,000 people. 600,000 people were saved from when Jonah preached. Look at verse 11 of Jonah 4. And then people say, "Well, you get that number from?" I get the number from the Word of God. It says, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city? God called it a great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. God saved all the livestock and the cattle too. If you read, when they heard the word of God, nobody ate. Chapter 3, verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published it throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink. God's prophet had a great word. And somebody say, well, if Jonah's word was so great, why didn't he want to go to Nineveh? I think we need to answer that before we even get started. You know, we can get into the prayer and know why we praying. Let me give you three reasons why Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. First of all, Nineveh was evil. It was the Sodom and Gomorrah of that day. It was a godless, wicked city. It was Sin City. I believe Las Vegas may have got its name from Nineveh. Nineveh was evil. It was the headquarters of all sorcery and immorality that was plaguing the world at that time. And the wickedness had spread throughout the entire continent. God even said, and when he told Jonah to go to Nineveh in verse number 2 of chapter 1. He said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. It was a wealthy city. It was a commerce city. People traveled through Nineveh, and as they traveled through Nineveh, when they left, they were evil. They was wicked. And then they spread it. And that's what a commerce city does. It spreads whatever is going on in that city. Nineveh was wicked. Let me give you five reasons why Jonah should have wanted to go to Nineveh as a prophet of God. See, we've covered this recently. And we have to be careful when we make judgments, because we could be prejudiced as Jonah. And we could think we're the only ones that need to be saved and the hell with them. We talked about that in the Lord's Prayer when he said, thy kingdom come. And what that means is that we want God's kingdom to come to a lost world and to save them. We don't want God's kingdom to come to crush them. We tend to get that mentality. Look at these five reasons in chapter 4 of Jonah. Look at verse number 1 and 2. You see five reasons why Jonah should have wanted to go there. And it displeased Jonah. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I'm going to explain that too before we get into this prayer. Look at this. Look at number two. And count the eyes. Because anytime you hear a person talking about themselves a lot, you know they can't do a lot for God. And he prayed unto the Lord his God. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty. See, sometimes we can be more loyal to our country than to God. See, we can be more loyal to some stuff than we can to our God. We have to be careful because we serve a jealous God. He said, therefore, I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew. Here's the five reasons. For I knew. That's right. He was a prophet. He was a prophet. He knew God. He knew God. He said, for I knew that thou art, number one, gracious God. Two, merciful God. Three, slow to anger. Four, and of great kindness. Jonah knew what was going on. And here's the last one, and this is the one we ought to all say hallelujah. And repentance, the of evil. He was a God of repentance. He was a God of kindness. He was a God of patience. He was a God of mercy. And he was a God of grace. Not he was, he still is. Amen. He's still all that and more. And everyone in here has experienced his mercy. Everyone here has experienced his grace. His kindness. And we ought to thank him that he has accepted our repentance. Listen, Jonah, if you look at 2 Kings, Jonah was a celebrity prophet. We got a lot of those today. He was a celebrity prophet. He was a people pleaser. He was a happy prophet. He prophesied good stuff. He was still a prophet. 2 Kings chapter 14, we see Jonah and how he got this popularity. And this is a reason why he didn't want to go to Nineveh. Jonah was happy right where he was at. Israel wanted to grow, and Jonah prophesied to the king and said, you can go to war against the Assyrians and you're going to win. Look at verse 25. And it says, and he restored the coast of Israel from entering into Hamath unto the sea of the plain. He restored all that. The king did. According to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah. Jonah preached good things. Jonah preached good things. You know, we talk about it in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. And the people said, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Smooth things. Jonah had that smooth, very white voice. God asked him, Jonah, to do something hard. Jonah had a problem because his people hated the Ninevites. Now he had to make a decision whether to please his people or to please God. Some of us been there. That's not easy. And we can condemn Jonah, but we ought to look at ourselves. Because we face those battles daily. Peer group pressure comes to all of us. Am I going to stand for the Lord, or am I going to hang out with my buddies? God used this well. What a story. Haven't got a title yet on it. I had wrote down, knowing your assignment. Knowing your assignment. You had the well. Who knew his assignment? God prepared the well. That word prepared in Jonah chapter 2 said that, he said, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. That word prepared means to appoint. I got a buddy that likes to use that word a lot at me. But that word prepared means to appoint. He says in verse 17, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. He appointed this fish. And the fish did what it was appointed to do. Didn't put up a fight. We call them dumb animals, whatever, but this whale did. That's what God told him to do. Jonah didn't. Jonah ran. Got on a boat. And caused the boat to almost capsize. People were scrambling around praying to their gods. If you look at Jonah chapter 1, they were praying to their gods. And in verse 5 it says that the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his god. How many of you know that don't work? Same verse, but Jonah was down into the sides of the ship that he laid in, was fast asleep. He was sound asleep. Jonah is the type of Christ. Jonah was willing to sacrifice his life to save those mariners. He said, throw me over. Throw me overboard if it's going to save you. That's what Christ did on Calvary's cross. But what I thought verse number 8 was interesting of Jonah chapter 1 before we get to this prayer. Because Jonah didn't want to let these folks know who he really was. They said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thy occupation? How about that? That's interesting. What is thy occupation? Why should someone have to ask the man of God that? Everybody ought to know. See, we like to be incognito. I want nobody to know. Then they asked him again, in which comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? And Jonah told him just enough. He said, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. No, you was a prophet of God. You had a personal relationship with the Lord. You were his spokesperson. You were a messenger of God. Your job was to proclaim God's word. And I'm on the run. How many know you can't run from God? You can't run from God. Let's get into this prayer. Look at verse chapter 2. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. How many know late prayer is better than no prayer? The thief on the cross had a late prayer and he got through. The other thief had a late prayer, and God didn't hear him. One thing to remember when we look at Jonah's prayer, Jonah wasn't writing this while he was in the fish. He was writing this while when he came out of the fish. He was telling us his experience, what had happened to him when he tried to run from God. And he is thorough in his explanation, and I think it just speaks to us today. Look at, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, somebody said, stop, Pastor, because I don't believe that Jonah was in the belly of a fish. That's far-fetched. That's hard for me to believe. And if it's hard for me to believe, it's probably not true because it just don't sound right. Well, if you go to Matthew 12, maybe I can help you. 38. Jesus was with these Pharisees and scribes, and they wanted him to do tricks. You know, we have a world today that wants the Lord to do tricks. You know, we're looking for a God that do tricks. And that's what was happening at this day. In verse 38, and certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. You know, we live in a signs and wonder
age, and if we don't see a sign, and we don't see a miracle, and a miracle around every corner, and if we don't see miracles and signs happening every day, we have a hard time believing this gospel. The Word of God is not enough for some. And here the Pharisees, they want to see a sign. See, you know more like the devil when you want to see a sign. See, when Jesus was in the wilderness, the devil wanted to see signs. He said, turn this stone into bread. Let me see a trick, Jesus. Cast yourself down and let the angels come and swoop you up. See, when you are a signs and wonder person, and you want to see signs and wonders all the time, you better be careful with that. Jesus said unto them, these sign seekers, but he answered, said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign. And that word adulterous don't mean a sexual misconduct. It means you spiritually are cheating on God. You don't believe that God can do what he do. So actually you are an adulteress. You are an adulteress because you're looking for something else. He calls it an adulterous generation. Seek it after a sign. That word seek it is continual. This is all they want to do. They want a sign. Even when he was on the cross, they said in the crowd. The crowd looked at Jesus and said, if you be the Christ, do another trick. Do another miracle. Save yourself. They said, you saved others. They never that he didn't. He saved others. I'm pretty sure around the cross, you know, the woman with the issue of blood might have been there, and Lazarus was probably there, and the lunatic son was probably there, and you know, all the folks that needed healed was probably there. So they looked around, they were, well, you saved others. Just do one more trick. And come off the cross. How many know he could have? Oh, he could have come off. We ought to be glad he stayed. I'm glad he stayed. Amen. I'm glad he stayed on the cross. See, that's Satan's work. See, Satan wanted to trick him. They wanted one more trick, Jesus. Come off the cross. See, if it would have been me on there, I'd have came off because I'd have showed them something. I would have came off. I said, let me show y'all one more trick. I'd have come out. All y'all went to hell. Don't count on man. Man lets you down every time. Cause, you know, my pride would have been hurt. I'd have been pulling them nails out. I'd come down and slap one of them Pharisees. That's right. Listen. For as Jonah. Now, this is for y'all who don't want to believe in this fish. So, you know, I don't know if it was a fish. You know, who said it was a whale? Well, God said it was a whale. And a whale's stomach can hold it. And all this, you get all this stuff. Listen, here's what God said in my red letter King James Bible. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Now that makes it a historical fact. And I know some of y'all naysayers out there. Well, what kind of whale was it? I don't know what kind of whale it was. I asked Ray. I said, Ray, how many different kind of whales? The ray whale? Oh, they got the blue whale, the fin whale, the humpback whale. You got the gray whale, the pygmy whale, the sperm whale. It was a whale. It was a whale. It was a whale, and that's all I need to know. And that's all you need to know. Because you got to understand, you're going to believe the word of God by faith. Okay? Faith cometh by hearing. Okay? So you're going to believe the word of God by faith, but you're not going to believe it. If you want to sit here and nitpick over what kind of whale it was, that's on you. Jesus said it was a whale. Okay. Listen. Verse number 2. And here's Jonah. Remember, he's speaking. He's been delivered. And said, I cry by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. I cried by reason of my affliction. Jonah really still didn't want to go. He said, I'm in the whale's belly, but I'm still being defiant. And the only reason I'm crying now is because I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. And that's a good time to cry. When I cried out to the Lord, I was in a mess. Oh, you can dress it up. You can put on nice clothes on your mess. And you can dress up your mess pretty good. And you can strut around folks. And they would never know you were in a mess. But deep down inside, you know you're in a mess. And you know you need to cry out to the Lord, the creator of everything. Listen, and he heard me. We talk about that word heard all the time. And he heard me. He understood my problem. God is such a compassionate God. He knew he had called Jonah to do something Jonah didn't want to do. He understood his prophet. And he says, he heard me. He understood why I was running. He understood the mess I had gotten myself into. But I was still his man. Even in the belly of hell, Sheol, the grave, I'm still his. And I cried. That word cry, I mean I prayed. And thou heardest my voice. This is personal here, folks. See, this, you, when you cry out to the Lord, you better know him. See, folks that call you up and who is this? Know what that means? You ain't talking to him enough. See, you don't want to call on God. He said, who's this? He needs to be familiar with your voice. Okay? Now I call some of y'all up. Y'all know who it is right away. Because we talk a lot. But if I call one, some of y'all I don't call all the time, you'd be like, who's this? Pastor, just you? That's all right with me. But it shouldn't be that way with God. He ought to know you. And thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jonah doing something some of us can't do. He's taking responsibility for his behavior, for his actions. See, by all rights, if it had been one of us, he said, them mariners threw me in this water. I ain't do nothing. I was sleeping. Minding my own business. No, he knew he was wrong. And he tried to run from the presence of God. Let me tell you something. You cannot run from the presence of God. Some of you young folks have been brought up in God's house. Been dragged to church by your parents. You have heard the word of God. You are responsible. You are without excuse. You are without excuse. For thou hast cast me into the deep. God cast him into the deep, and Jonah knew it. And he acknowledged it. He said, not only in the deep, in the midst of the sea. They was way out there. And the floods compassed about me. Now he's going down. See, God saved Peter when he was sinking. Here we find Jonah going down. He said, and the floods compassed me about. He was in trouble. He was in trouble. He said, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah was sinking fast, still conscious. This whale had taken him down. These whales, if you study the whale, I did a little bit, they swim with their mouths open. And they just take in everything. They just take in everything, and Jonah was going through. He was free falling, as someone said. He was going through.
and the waves passed over him. And then he said, verse number 4. Here we go. Then he said, I am cast out of thy sight. What a predicament. That's a picture of hell. See, hell really means separation from God. Now we look at our favorite book, Ephesians chapter 2, chapter 1. It talks about it in 2 and 12, excuse me. It talks about when we was in the belly of the fish. When we was without God. Look what it says in Ephesians 2 and 12. He said that at that time, ye were without Christ. That means you're separated from God. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Being aliens from all the blessings of God. And strangers from the covenant of promise. The great promises God made. We were strangers of. We knew nothing about it. Listen, here's the part. Having no hope. What a predicament. Having no hope. Sitting here in church, hearing God's word, not knowing if you die tonight, where you spend eternity. Doesn't matter what I say. This is personal. This is between you and the Lord. Whether you have hope or not, it ain't got nothing to do with me.
Amen.
Having no hope and without God in the world. How about that? The world has no mercy on lost souls. Satan is the ruler of darkness and his job is to steal, kill, and destroy, having no hope. That was the sinner's place before salvation. That's our place before salvation. But Jonah here, listen. Listen. This is beautiful for the child of God who may be wayward, who may be, dare I say, backslidden. And then you find yourself in a mess. And you will. And you backslid and you walk away from the Lord and you've been out there on your own and you've taken off God's protection saying, I don't need it. You will find yourself in a spot where you will cry out to the Lord, Lord, I need you. Listen what he says in verse number 4. Then he said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. Now, folks, he's not talking about looking toward a church. He's talking about a temple higher than this one. He said, I'm going to look toward the hills, which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. See, we can't run from God's presence. I don't care how far we run. Psalms 139 speaks it. Really, really good. Verse number 7. It says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend unto the heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Don't be confused. Satan don't run nothing. God run hell. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the other parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. See, you can run from the church. Don't answer the phone when church folk call you. It came around from God. And if you God's child, He's going to get you back to the church. He's going to get you back to the house of God. It's a dangerous thing when the Word of God does not
convict. You're in a dangerous place when God's word don't convict you, when God has turned your ears off. Listen, verse number 5. Got some verses to cover. He's talking about this hell that he's in. He describes it almost as a prison. He says, the waters compassed about me. He's covered. No way out. Even to the soul. Talk to somebody. Talk to that man who's on the front page of the newspaper for killing that baby, that 15-year-old boy in Struthers yesterday. And the judge looked him in the face and just said, there ain't a pit deep enough for you.
Amen.
See, sin will always take you further than you plan on going. It costs you more than you planned on spending. And keep you there longer than you planned on staying. Okay? When that man got into that relationship with that girl, he never planned on killing that baby. And he definitely never planned on spending the rest of his life. I think they gave him 33 years to life. You know, when you give somebody 33 years to life, that's a long time. Okay? When you look at that Aaron Hernandez, $40 million contract doesn't mean a whole lot. Didn't mean a whole lot. Couldn't get the thug out of him. With $40 million, couldn't get the thug out of him. Still a thug. $40 million living in a mansion. How about that? Living in a mansion. I watched him on the news. Got a Q7 Audi station wagon. 64,000 five-star price on it. Got the $64,000 sound system. 14 speakers. I think it's a Bang Opalus, some kind of name they put in those cars. Give me the entertainment package too. I'm Aaron Hernandez. I'm untouchable. I can't fall. Oh, that'd be $1,600. Well, don't worry about it. I'm Aaron Hernandez. He'll never ride in that again. He'll never ride in that again. He'll never want that 80-inch TV in his 30,000 square foot recreation room. He'll never work out in the basement of that mansion he lived in. Young men and women, he'll never have intimacy with a woman again. I ask yourself that. I know I go there. But you think about it, young people, and ask your parents when you get home if you don't understand what I'm saying. But what's a 21-year-old do with a belly full of testosterone in a penitentiary?
Amen.
Explain that to your children.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they don't ask you, ask them. What did Pastor mean?
Mm-hmm.
This serious business. He said, the waters compassed me, even thy soul, the depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. The weeds represent chains and shackles. Jonah was in trouble.
Amen.
Then he said, I went down, verse number 6, to the bottoms of the mountains. You know, they didn't find out there was mountains in the ocean until the 1800s. When they started building these bridges that cross all these great seas, they found out there were mountains. Oh, God's word is good. So I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He had a life sentence. He knew he was in hell. Oh, he had a life sentence. Yet, hast thou brought up my life from corruption. There is everything close to a sinner's prayer. There you have it. Somebody say, how do you pray for someone who lost? Pray salvation. They need to know the Lord. They need to know that they are sinful, that they are sin sick. They need to know that if God don't deliver from their sins, they won't be delivered. You ain't strong enough to take Satan's hand off you. He says,
Yet thou hast brought my life from corruption. O Lord, my God. O Lord, my God. Hell. Imagine that. Being in that belly. With this stinking fish. Stinking, putrid, rotten, dirty, dark place. Let me take you to Luke 16. Just get an idea of what Jonah's going through. Familiar text. Luke 16. Here we see the rich man in hell. And he puts up this prayer. But he's in a different place than Jonah. There ain't no exercise here. Verse 27. He's getting ready to pray. I say it all the time. I've used this before. Folk in hell praying. Then he said, verse 27, 16, Luke. Therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of what?
Torment.
Jonah was in a place of torment. Here is a rich man in hell. He is in a place of torment. And look what Jesus says to him. And Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them hear them. Let them hear the word of God. That's what they need to hear. If they're going to escape the torments of hell, you have to hear the word of God. I'm just adamant about preaching it. I couldn't imagine doing anything else up here. And if I ever do, just somebody just come and pull me down. Preach the word. Paul said, preach the word. In season and out of season. Be instant. That word instant means be confrontational. Nobody's saved without being confronted.
Amen.
If you are, you probably don't have what you think you have.
Amen.
Look at verse 7. We're wrapping this thing up. He said, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And that word fainted means, don't mean he passed out. What that word fainted means in that text means, listen, I've done everything in my power. I've done everything in my power to be delivered from this fish. I put all my appeals in. I put all, my pleas in. I've done everything I can.
Yes.
And then I remembered the Lord. You know, sound like the woman with the issue of blood. The Word of God says she had spent all her resources. She done everything she could. She did everything money could do. But it didn't do anything. The prodigal son, and when the Bible says in Luke 15, he came to his senses. When? When he had spent himself. And God used a famine to get his attention. And he said, when I came to my senses, I said to myself, Father, I'm going to go back home to Father. I don't have to live like this among the swine. Some of us is heavy with the swine. He said, when my soul fainted, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee. Whoa. Whoa. Did you get that? Jonah had intimacy with the Lord. He had intimacy with the Lord. And his prayer, it didn't get stopped. It didn't get, nothing got in the way of it. It came right in unto thee. Now we're talking here. I don't care how wonderful you are, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. The bird of God said, just man. Fall 7 times. But see, when you have this intimate relationship with God, when you have a live and vigorous and effective prayer life with the Lord, the Word of God says the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. This is we're talking about powerful prayer here. It got to the Lord in verse 7. It came right in unto thee in thy holy temple. It came. It got right to heaven.
Amen.
And then he remembered something. All the foolishness that he was doing in verse number 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now there's a call to Nineveh. Here's what God has called him to do. Go to a people who don't know me and introduce me to them. Go to a people who worship idols. This is the job of the prophet of God, the man of God, the woman of God, is to go out into a lost world and tell them about Jesus. Tell them about the real God instead of serving idols and little gods. He says in verse number 9, I know I'm moving. I'll be in the hallway. You got any questions? Listen. I like this one here. We sing a song here. I think it's one of my theme songs. I thank you in advance for what you've done for me. Here's Jonah. He didn't got through. See, once you get through to God, ain't no use moping around. You done prayed your prayer. You done got through to God. Now what you running around here moping around for? Just wait on the Lord. Just wait on the Lord. You done got through. God has heard your cry. He done got through. Do like Jonah. Now Jonah's thinking ahead. Now I'm out of this belly. I know this well is of God. God wouldn't have sent him if he wasn't planning on doing something miraculous. Now he done waiting. Now I'm still alive. I'm in the belly of the world. I done prayed my prayer. Now I'm waiting for God to do something because I'm his man. Then he says in verse number 9, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Stop there and sacrifice. That word sacrifice means what they did in that day when God had done something miraculous for the people of God. They would automatically go to the temple and make a sacrifice. They would make a sacrifice because God had done something good. Now imagine if every time God done something good to you, you came to the church and just gave the church 50 cents. Maybe put a little bucket over there, you know, the sacrifice bucket. Every time somebody checks in and ride a red light, and you go, woo! And every time you slide on the ice or anything happen, that you know God's watching me, you bring a little sacrifice to the church and say, I'll make a little sacrifice. Because 8 times this week, God saved me. When Michaela riding her bike out the other day with Ray, and she make a quick left turn when they told her to stop, and the car hit the brakes and almost run her over. Make a little sacrifice.
Amen.
God just protecting us.
Amen.
We don't look at it like that. Jonah was. He said, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He's going to make a sacrifice in advance. He's already in the belly of the fish and saying, when I get out of here, first thing I'm going to do is make a sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Oh. Look at verse number 9. Part B of number 9. Coming into his senses. He's coming to his senses now. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. You know, when you come to the Lord, you make a vow. You make a vow when you come to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, when you come to the Lord, that's why I don't like to do long, drawn out altar calls, because I don't want to smooth talk someone down here that ain't made a vow.
Amen.
See, then you've got to be tracking them down. No. You make a vow, I'm going to serve you to the day I die.
Amen.
I'm going to serve you with my time. I'm going to serve you with my finances. I'm going to serve you with my voice. I'm going to serve you with my hands. I'm going to serve you.
Yes, sir.
Then when I can't serve you anymore, I'm just going to let my presence be known.
Amen.
I'm just going to sit in attendance.
Yes, sir.
We call that in the chaplaincy the ministry of presence. Listen, He says, I will pay that I have vowed. What did he have vowed? He's a prophet. What was the prophet's job? He was God's messenger. He was a voice piece for God. He was to go out into a fallen world and tell these Ninevites about the Lord. And he said, I'm gonna do what I said I was gonna do when I came, when you called me and I accepted the call. Now he says something wonderful here. Salvation is of the Lord. Let me tell y'all something. You can see salvation at work. See, a lot of people, salvation is it's God working inside of me. No, God working inside of you ought to show up on the outside. You say, well, my salvation don't work like that. Well, your salvation don't work. Plug it in. Change the batteries. Listen. Here's a great story. Exodus chapter 14. This is a great story. Write it down. Get it at home. I'm gonna go to it. I'm gonna get y'all out of here so I can hug on y'all in the hallway. Listen, do that. What Justin called it, the hallway ministry. Listen at Exodus 14:13. Here's Moses. The Egyptians is on his hot on his tail, tracking him down. They didn't follow him all the way down to the Red Sea. And Moses in his boldness, because we learned this morning in Sunday school, Moses, that man of God, he knew God. And Moses said unto the people in verse 13, fear ye not. Stand still. How about it? And see the salvation of the Lord. How about it? Have you seen the salvation of the Lord? You ought to see it in your own life. That word salvation means deliverance. God is about to deliver the Israelites. The greatest display of salvation in the Word of God is right here in Exodus 14 and 13. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Oh, here's a tip. Here's a blessing for someone. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That ought to help someone. If you're going to worry, don't pray. And if you're going to pray, don't worry. Listen. Salvation is of the Lord. New Testament, Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we, say it like you mean it, whereby we must be saved. Listen, you must be saved. Oh, that don't get it. John 14:6 said, Jesus, I am the way, the truth, in the life. No man cometh unto me. Help me. That's confrontational. Them fighting words. Because you telling the dark world, you telling the Muslims, you telling the Jehovah's, you telling a whole lot of folks, your God is not the right God. Be ready for a fight. Listen. Talk about Jonah. Let's talk about the well as I close. See, the well had an attitude. Did y'all pick that up? Or did I pick it up? I'm just spiritualizing everything. I know I'm not clear. Listen. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. Now, the well was as obedient as he could be. God prepared him. Appointed him. Maybe even anointed him. Okay. And he swallowed up Jonah because he did what God called him to do. Oh, but you know what? There ain't nothing nastier and stanky than a backslidden preacher. Y'all better hold the pastor up. Because there ain't nothing nastier and
fouler than a backslidden preacher.
Amen.
Backslidden saint ain't all that neither now. But a backslidden preacher, enough to make a, I don't know how it go. I was going to quote Reggie Kelly. I don't know how it go. But I'm leaving it alone. But a backslidden preacher. Now look at verse number 10. Now the Lord spake it to the fish again. And it took him to shore and let him out his mouth. That ain't what it say. That ain't what it say. Vomit is nasty. Vomit is nasty. I don't care. I remember working as a hospital aide. I know I'm bear you with the hanging there with me. And we had a guy had a some kind of problem in his chest. Couldn't hold food. And he would just rifle vomit all across the room. He eat and if you ain't know, and you got on the little nurse shoes that I was wearing, and you walk in there and hit it, I'm telling you. Them young brothers dancing ain't had nothing on me. I mean, I was doing everything I could to stand up, and I would see other folk walk in there and fall in. Ain't nothing like falling in vomit. And them nurses come out of there. And I hit it one day, and my feet was moving 90 miles an hour. I didn't go down, though. I grabbed on the side of that bed. I said, help me, Jesus. Oh, that's right. That's right. I heard it. Oh, nasty preacher. Reggie said it's bad enough to make a mule preak. A mule puke. Whew. Give you the chills when you hear the word vomit. I don't care if it's a jailer little baby vomit. It's nasty. Jalen probably don't think it's nasty now. What do you think with about 6? My daughter, I mean my daughter, she could drink red stuff and just vomit all in the car. Just nasty. Listen. And the Lord spake unto the fish and it vomited out Jonah. And I know I'm being spiritual, but it sounded like the fish was like, you do what you're supposed to do. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. Prophet of God vomited out on dry land. Now, I know I'm going to stop. But, you know, I get to studying this stuff, you know. Whales ain't supposed to get that close to the shore. So there's a lot of miracles going on. Whales aren't supposed to get that close to shore. You know, y'all watch TV, the whale gets certain distance to the shore. They, you know, they call out the Coast Guard to try to drag it back out. Now here this whale came all the way up to the shore and cast him out on dry land. So he might have been out of the water. People in Nineveh might have seen it. Say, ooh-wee, I've been listening to this man. Something miraculous happened, you know. But the whale is a picture of the church. The church is supposed to receive sinners. The church ought to be a place where you can get to some close intimacy with God. Jonah got that. The whale received him. The whale protected him. The church ought to be a place where we are protected. We're safe. These children in here ought to be safe. Amen. Our elderly ought to be safe. We're not getting on you young people when you're running up and down the hallway. We just don't want you to bump somebody who may not be able to handle falling on that tile out there.
Amen.
We're not being mean. It's just urgent. Somebody can get hurt. Somebody could be walking with a cup of hot coffee or something. But the church ought to be a place that's safe. It ought to be a place where we prepare folks to go out and preach to a lost world.
Amen.
That's what I hope is happening in this church. Amen. I know I've been long. I thank God for you guys. I thank God.